tries to do and inject the Holy Spirit into it, and you have amazing things happen. And so what it is, it's like a small group study. And so we walk through a lot of different life-controlling issues, and it's exciting. And so if you went through the training, if you're part of our Live Free program, could you raise your hand in here this morning? We got Aubrey, we got Nathan. I think that's all in here today. Oh, yeah, and right here in the middle. What I challenge you to do is, if you want more information, talk to one of these individuals who have their hands raised. Raise your hand one more time, guys. Talk to one of these guys. Oh, up there, Lord's up there, yeah. Talk to one of them, and you'll hear the power that's been in some of these meetings. What's crazy about it is these are facilitators. So this last class has been all facilitators. But I've heard testimony come out of these class of what they've experienced, how they've been impacted, and it's powerful. And listen, what the vision for these classes are, they're for our church, but they're for our community. We love to see people in our community come. They're intentionally on a Wednesday night where you have all kinds of child care. We got nursery, we got kids going, we got youth going. So somebody could come, their kids can be taken care of while they could go to a small group class. And I'm saying all this because we're going to offer our first two classes coming up in August. And they are, let me just tell you what they are. The first one is, it's called Stepping Into Freedom. And so it's a 12-step approach to overcoming life-controlling problems. Now I want to caution you right there. When I say life-controlling problems, some of you automatically write it off. Like, I don't need that. That doesn't apply to me. I'm not addicted to porn. I'm not addicted to alcohol. I'm not addicted to drugs. Pump the brakes, though, because there's a lot of things that can be life-controlling issues. Let me give you a testimony of one of these. We had a first service lady, Janet Besser, sweet, sweet, sweet lady. She came to this night where they're going to share, and they, again, small group setting, you share. And she said, you know, I just didn't think it applied to me, because I grew up in church. And she said, when I got there, the Lord really began working on me. And what happened in her life is she has dealt with cancer for a lot of her life. She beat it, it came back, she beat it, it came back. And so it's been a kind of a thing in her life. And she said, I got to the class tonight, and the Lord revealed to me that I've actually allowed cancer to be a life-controlling issue in my life. It's dictated a lot of what I do, a lot of what my future looks like. It's controlled a lot of my life. And she said, it was going through this class, I found out how to get past this. Let me read you the description of this Stepping Into Freedom class. It says it's designed to help individuals gain victory over life-controlling issues through biblical principles that lead to freedom. So again, a powerful class. Second class we're going to offer at the same time is Free to Grow. This is a 12-week journey. It's designed to help you discover how God can bring freedom, healing, and hope. And they're going to explore biblical principles to empower us to overcome life's difficulties and grow stronger in faith. Again, these classes, I'm telling you, there's power behind them. Anytime you get together, like-minded, small group, where you can actually feel like you have a place that's safe where you can share and share with somebody maybe going through the same struggles and learn biblically how to overcome there's power. That's what we want to introduce to our community. We want them to know the power behind the intention of what we're doing. And so, again, look at these two classes. Next week, we'll have a sign-up sheet up front. Wednesday nights, if you say, well, you know, I don't think it really applies to me, maybe you know somebody. Maybe somebody at work. Maybe somebody in your neighborhood. Maybe somebody you just run into. Say, hey, I've got a great class that would help you. It's a small group. And encourage them to come. That's the dream, that's the vision behind Living Free series that we're doing, is we can help impact people in our community with freedom that we know and let them discover how to get freedom over life-controlling issues in their own life. So again, I'll get off my soapbox. I talk forever about that because I believe in it. Talk to one of these individuals in here. Let them say, okay, how's the class going? And they'll tell you. There's been some crazy testimonies come out of already what's been done in the classes. So that's coming up. Sign up front. Get involved in that. This morning, we're jumping back into 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, we're going to be chapter 13. So far, we've been introduced to Samuel. We've been introduced to Saul. We see Saul's rise in leadership. Remember I told you chapter 11, his best chapter, right? It doesn't get better than chapter 11, because after chapter 11, it just goes downhill, right? He starts off great. Chapter 11, he's humble. He's responsible. He's relying on God's Spirit. He's a good leader. And then it nothing. It goes from there. It just goes down rapidly. And so the sad thing is, the next chapters, it's completely unnecessary. Why? Because God gave Saul everything he needed in order to succeed. In fact, Saul's brought down by his own wrong choices. And all begins, we're going to see today, all begins when Saul gave in to fear. We say that one more time. It all began when Saul gave in to fear. Come on. This is one of the greatest battles that we should be prepared for, but oftentimes we are not. Fear. I think fear is one of the greatest weapons the enemy uses in our lives. He makes us afraid. And when we get afraid, we turn our eyes off of God onto other things, and it never ends well, because we're going to see that today. Because what fear can do is it paralyzes us. We see fear, we give in to fear, and we stop. And when we stop, the result is we cripple God's plan, God's will in our lives. We think, you know, we're afraid. We're afraid maybe what others will think, and so we don't want to share the gospel. We're afraid of the circumstances around us. And when we're afraid of circumstances around us, we can be tempted to do the wrong thing and go against God's word. And that's what we see happen in Saul's life today. Because the truth is, fear is a problem. Because we're called to live by faith. And we don't. And if you think about it, what's the opposite of faith? I think it has to be fear. And so we're going to learn from Saul today. So let's look at it. The first thing we're going to learn is you will experience times of testing. You will experience times of testing. Okay? So first of all, you know, do we not have slides today, guys? All right, we're working on it. There we go. Here we go. We're working on it. We're rolling now. So every Christian, and most of you know this by now, but if you haven't experienced this, every one of us will go through times of trials, of times of difficulty, times of struggles, times of battles. And it doesn't mean you messed up or that God's forgotten you or God's mad at you. It simply means we live here on earth and we haven't went to heaven yet. So as long as we're on earth, we're going to face trials and tribulations, right? And it's during these times of testing that we get to choose, you get to choose, I get to choose, between fear and faith. Will I give in to fear and fall away from God, or will I trust God to bring me through this situation? Okay, so how do we do it? How do we deal with the testing in our life? Well, one, we prepare for battle. You better be ready for battle. Look at it in verses 1 and 2. So Saul lived for 1 year and then became king. And when he reigned for 2 years over Israel, Saul chose 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Mishmash, in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gilbeth of Benjamin. The result of the people he sent home, every man to his tent, Saul was king over Israel for a long time, which meant he's prepared to go to war. As a king, you face battles. He's understanding this. Okay, this is what we're doing. We're going to war. So what does he do? He chooses 1,000 guys. He thinks, okay, this is going to be a great standing army. I'll get 1,000 guys. We'll kind of hold the line here. We'll represent the army. He divides the troops up between himself and his son, Jonathan. It's the first time you're introduced to Jonathan. And Saul's realistic. He knows battle's coming, so he's preparing for war. The Bible tells you and I the same thing. You better be ready. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians 6, 10, 11 says this. Finally, you guys know this. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. What's it telling us? Get ready. Get ready to war. Get ready to fight. Get ready to battle. Because we experience times of testing in our lives. And so you need to be ready. You need to be prepared. Don't be surprised when the enemy comes knocking. You're like, oh, I can't believe that. We live in a fallen world. That means there's going to be trials. There's going to be circumstances. There's going to be battles. It's going to be crazy. And so another thing, we're getting ready for battle. Another principle you need to understand, we see in this passage, is when you fight the enemy, I know this is a newsflash, enemy's going to fight back. I know it surprises every one of you, but I'm going to take a stand. And then we're surprised when enemy fights back. Look at verses 3 and 4. Jonathan defeated the garrison of Philistines that was at Gibeah. And the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard it and said that Saul had defeated the garrisons of the Philistines. And also that Israel had become a stench to the Philistines. And the people were called out to join Saul at Gilgal. Okay, so according to verse 3, Jonathan attacked the Philistines first, okay? And so you'd expect Saul, not Jonathan, to do first, but that might be our first clue that something's not right with Saul's kingship. But we're told Jonathan attacked the Philistines' outposts at Gilbad. Now, the thing about Gilbad is that belonged to Israel. And so this attack was just taking back what the enemy stole. How many loves that song? No, I love that song, Take Back. We had the motions for it. Mike could do the motions if he's in here. I think he skipped. No, he's back there. He could lead you in the motions of the song, Take Back. You know, we spin around, we need all the things, all right? It's a great song, but we're taking back what the enemy stole. And that's what Israel was doing. They were simply taking back what the enemy stole. It was what the enemy stole from them. So Jonathan attacks verse 4, but notice Saul gets a credit in verse 3, or 4. It says, Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost. And look, this is next part. This is awesome. You're going to love it. And now Israel has become a stench to the Philistines. I love that word, that phrase. Israel became a stench to the Philistines. Listen, as long as Israel was passive, as long as they're not fighting, Philistines could care less. They're just ignoring them. But as soon as Israel attacks, as soon as Israel takes back what the enemy stole, Israel becomes a stench to the enemy. So that raises a great question for you and I. Can that be said of you? Not that you stink. Hopefully you don't stink. But that you're a stench to the enemy. Can you say that? Are you living for Christ so boldly, so fully, that you're a stench to Satan and his forces? Or you're living so passively, they're like, I can care less about them. That's a great question. Don't you act like it's a great question, but that's a great question. Do you stink today? Like, did the enemy find you threatening? They look at you like, ah. Because listen, I'm telling you, when you start growing, you start having influence for God, you're going to become a stench to the enemy. You should smell so bad the enemy can't stand it. And when you fight the enemy, guess what? They're going to fight back. They're not going to sit still and say, oh, it's okay, just do whatever you want. Listen, Ephesians 6:21 says, or 6:12 says this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers, present darkness, and against spiritual forces of heavenly places. We're going to experience testing. So it's time you prepare yourself for battle, and you know that when you fight, the enemy's going to fight back. Don't come out here like, okay, today I'm going to the altar. I'm going to have a great time getting right with the Lord. I'm taking a stand. Don't expect to be lost sunshine and roses after that. Because more than likely, your dishwasher's going to break. Your foot's going to break. Your car's going to, something's going to break. Because why? Because you're attacking the enemy. The enemy's like, okay, you want to fight? Let's go. And then it's time for battle. And guess what? When we do, when we go to battle, we prepare for it. The enemy's fighting. Next thing is, you're going to be tempted to give in to fear. You're going to be tempted to give in to fear. Because you and I will experience times of test in our life. That means there'll be times we're tempted to give in to fear. When the enemy attacks, when your circumstances go from sunshine and roses to the opposite of that, you're going to be tempted to give in to fear. There's so many reasons why you'd be tempted. But first one is this, is your problems may seem overwhelming. I mean, that's true, right? Anytime you face a situation, it's going to seem overwhelming to you. Look at verse 5 in 1 Samuel chapter 13. It says, and the Philistines mustered to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and troops like the sand on the seashore in multitude. Okay, you think you got problems? How about having Saul's problems? Saul, remember, Saul had 3,000 men. Okay, the Philistines had 3,000 chariots. Every chariot had two guys in it. Okay, so 3,000 chariots, 6,000 men, and I don't even know how many numbers of the sands, but that's a lot of men. He had to face soldiers as numerous as the sand on the shore. I mean, he's outnumbered, he's outgunned, and you can see how easy it would be for you to give in to fear in that situation. In your own circumstance right now, your finances have left the building. Everything's going south. You got medical debt, you got car debt, you got credit card debt, you got all this, and it's overwhelming in your situation. And in those cases, it's so easy to take your eyes off of God and give in to the fear. And that's what we do so many times. So many times we look at our situation, we get overwhelmed, and we give in to fear. Listen, did you notice Philistines went up and camped at Michmash? Which Michmash was where Saul and his guys were camped. Okay, so that means the Philistines already displaced Saul and his men from their own camp. Okay, in other words, Saul and his army has already lost battleground. We get so defeated when that happens, don't we? We make so much progress in one area, and it's like we find ourselves falling back in old habits. That's the way the Christian life is sometimes. Chuck Swindoll wrote a book one time, Christian Life. He called it 3 Steps Forward, 2 Steps Back. I love it, right? Because it's like, it isn't easy. And it never will be while we're here on earth. It's a battle, and sometimes it feels like you're taking 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. But the important thing is to keep moving forward. Don't give in to fear. We keep moving, making progress. Listen, sometimes the problems we face in life are overwhelming. I'll be the first to admit that. Right? We don't know. We don't know a way forward. We can't see a way forward. We don't know how we're going to cope with this. We don't know how we can get up and face another day. That certainly has to be the way Paul felt many times in his life. But then Paul gives us his nugget in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. He says this. He says, we are afflicted in every way. Come on, a lot of you could testify that this morning. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Listen, so often our problems seem so overwhelming, we're tempted to give in to fear. And that's what Saul was facing in our passage this morning. And you and I face at various times in our lives. You know what doesn't make it any easier? When you're facing struggles, when you're tempted to give in fear, you look around and everybody in your little circle is responding in fear. That doesn't help, does it? Look at verse 6 and 7. It says, when the men of Israel saw that they were in trouble, for the people were hard-pressed, look at this. They hid themselves in caves, in holes. I would love to know what that means. And in rocks, in tombs, in cisterns. And some Hebrews crossed the fords of the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul was still at Gilead, and all the people followed him trembling. Poor Saul. Here he is. He's tempted to be overwhelmed with fear. He's tempted to give in fear. So he looks to his people for help, and what are they doing? They're hiding in holes. I mean, who even does that? They're hiding in caves. They literally cisterns. They drop themselves down to the bottom of wells. I mean, they're flat high. They've already given in to fear. How many knows when you're looking for support, when you're like, okay, this is overwhelming. I think I'm going to give in. I need support. You look around. Everybody's got their head in the sand. You're like, okay, it's the thing to do. Let's just give in to fear. Nobody's helping, right? It's terrible. Saul, everybody's deserting him. Excuse me. I mean, it's hard enough to fight the battle when you got support in place, but everyone around you is responding in fear. It's tempted to join them. Well, everybody else feels this way. Everybody else in the company is, you know, they're getting laid off, and so it's easy. Everybody else, I mean, this guy's in debt. Why not? You understand that when we do that, when we give in to fear, it's going to lead you to do the wrong things. Look at our story in verses 9 and 10. So Paul said, bring the burnt offering here to me. Okay, this is a big no-no right here, okay? This is reserved for the prophet, okay? So this is not going well. Saul says, bring the offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering, and as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Saul gives in to fear. His people are running. I mean, what else can I do? So he gives in to fear. Instead of waiting for Samuel to arrive, he begins to offer these sacrifices. If he'd only waited a little bit longer, can you imagine? It would be a totally different story. If he waited a little bit longer, it says he waited 7 days, but the 7 days wasn't over. He was supposed to wait 7 days. He made it like 6.5. How many knows that? That could be me. I'm not patient. When God says do something, okay. God, I waited 7 days. Well, technically I only waited 6.5, but it's almost 7, so it counts, right? No. We give in to fear and we do the wrong thing. Saul did the wrong thing. You and I experience this in testing of life all the time. And we give in. We give in to fear. And if Saul would have chosen faith over fear, totally different story. I want you to understand this morning, though. Fear's greatest strength is to get you to focus on yourself. Think about what fear does in your life. Fear makes you think about your abilities, your thoughts, your talents. Because when we give in to fear, we think, okay, what can I do? Isn't that the biggest misleading statement ever? What can I do? So you see right there, you give in to fear, you turn your eyes off of Christ and you put it onto yourself. What can I do to get me out of this circumstance? What can I do to make this better? What can I do to overcome this? What can I can think of a plan. Remember we learned like a couple weeks ago that children of Israel are like, we got a plan. That's never good. Because when we do that, we give in our fear, our solutions are only as big as we can think. Now, I know some of you guys are like super smart, but you're not that smart. Come on, I'd rather rest in Isaiah 55:8. Look at it. It's New Living Translation. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could what? Imagine. Isn't that awesome? I mean, think about it. You can think of a solution. Okay, I got to get a side hustle. I got to do this. We go to counseling. You got a solution, right? What that scripture is saying, you can't even imagine. My thoughts, my solutions, my way out is something you can never dream of. And what fear does is says, okay, what can you do? What faith does is what can God do? Come on. I dare to go with God anytime to my thing because I'm not the brightest light bulb in a bunch. I know he can outsmart me any day of the week. But what fear does, it makes you so crazy, you start thinking you got the answer. Listen, fear factors out faith. Fear puts matters into your hands instead of God's hands. Fear factors out the possibility of a miracle. Fear factors out all God is wanting to do in your life. Some of you have a choice this morning. Faith over fear or fear over faith? Saul chose faith or fear, and it led him to do the wrong things. Not only did it lead him to do the wrong things, lead him to do the wrong choices, this next part is the best part, and we've all done it. We try to justify our actions. Like after we made the wrong choice, we're like, well, it's only because, listen to this, look at verse 11 and 12. Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed, technically he did, it just wasn't the full seven, right? Okay, within the days appointed, and now that the Philistines had mustered at Mishmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilead, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. Look at this next part. This is a bit. This is like totally something you and I would say. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offerings. I didn't want to, but I forced myself, right? Samuel's opening greeting, it's great. He's straight to the heart. There was no small talk, no greeting, no discussion. What have you done? Because what Saul done was disobeyed a direct commandment from God to wait full 7 days. Now Samuel's confronting him. As soon as Saul hits Samuel with the truth, he's like, the proper thing to do right there, just a hint for you and I, whatever busted like that, yeah, hands up. I sinned. It was my fault. But how many times do we do that? I think we take Saul's approach a lot of times. Look at Saul's approach. He blames the Philistines. They're getting ready to attack. It's their fault. I forced myself to do this, right? He blames his own men for running away. They ran away, so I just literally had to force myself to do it. He even blames Samuel for not getting there. And the funny thing is, Samuel was there on the seventh day. He was like the last hour of the seventh day, but he was there. So he's even blaming Samuel. He's trying to justify all his wrong choices. And that's what fear does in your life. You give in to fear, you make wrong choices, and then you try to justify the wrong choices. Well, you know, I'm not giving a tithe because my financial situation is what it is. I can't. Well, you know, I had to fudge on that report because if I told the truth, then, you know, I probably meant my job and I couldn't, you know, God wouldn't understand. You know, Saul said I had to force myself. Can I just set the record straight here and tell you, you never have to force yourself to do the wrong thing. You choose sin. We don't like to think of that. Well, I forced myself to. No. You chose that. Saul thought he could seek Lord's favor through an act of disobedience. But I'm telling you, you can never please God by disobeying his word. Here's a great little principle to hold on to. Put in your notebook and save it for when time gets tough. It's not the will of God if it goes against the word of God. That's a great way to judge something. It's not the will of God if it goes against the word of God. I want the worship team to come on up. I'm going to wrap this up this morning. Listen, I really truly believe that fear is one of Satan's greatest weapons. Because it can paralyze our faith. I had a great testimony from first service. An older lady came up and she's dealing with some big things in her life. And you look at her and say, anybody, she has a good reason to be afraid. But she's like, you know what? It's funny. It wasn't about this big diagnosis I have in my life. What caught me this past week was she's a crafter and she's taken upon herself to buy a Bible for all of her kids and grandkids and start highlighting promises of God in it. She's going to give it to them. Great, right? She says, well, this past week, my fingers started to become numb. And I can't really do that. She said, I got frustrated. And she said, yeah, I let that little thing, that fear, overwhelm me this past week. You see what I'm saying? It can paralyze your faith. It can distort your perspective and keep us from obeying the will of God. Because fear isn't always the absence of courage. It's often the battle between trusting what we see and trusting what God said. The Bible contains hundreds of commands not to fear. Right? Not because life is free from danger, but because God's presence is greater than the danger. And we overcome fear by not focusing on the size of your problem, but focusing on the greatness of God. Let me give you a few practical steps this morning how we can do this. The first thing you need to do when you face fear is you have to remember God's presence. You have to remember God's presence. Look at it in Isaiah 41:10. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Don't be afraid. Why? Because I'm going to remember His presence. Yeah, the circumstance right in front of me, it's bringing terror right now, but I'm not going to give Him fear. Why? Because He is our God. His presence was with me. Listen, throughout Scripture, God repeatedly, because we're a little hard-headed, but God repeatedly assures His people, "I am with you." Think about it. When Moses faced Pharaoh, God had to reassure Moses, "I am with you." When Joshua was facing the Promised Land, God had to reassure Joshua, "I am with you." When Daniel faced the lions, God's telling Daniel, "I am with you." When Paul faced prison, God's telling him, "I am with you." Time after time after time, He's telling these heroes of the faith, "I am with you." So when we face fears, when we struggle, we're going to remember God's presence has not left our side. Their confidence wasn't in themselves. Their confidence was in God's presence. Because you know why? Because fear says, "I'm alone." Faith says, "God's with me." You got to remember His presence. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, remember His presence. The second thing, remember His presence, we're going to remember His promises. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we know this, right? "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Fear wants you to look at your problem, see what's in front of you, see the struggle, see the hardship. Fear wants you to take your eyes off of God and put it on your problem. But we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Fear lives on the possibilities, the what ifs. How many loves the what if game? I hate that game, don't you? We play it all the time, though. I'm not the only one. We fall in a trap of, what if this happens? Well, what if that? What if? That's what fear does. You know what faith does? Faith lives in promises. Fear says, "What if?" But faith says, "But God said." I love that. Listen, you need to get back to the promises of God. Anytime fear pops up in your life, you say, "Okay, what if? But what if God?" Because God said He'll never leave me or forsake me. God said He'll be with me always. God said He's going to work all things out for my good. God said. So I'm going to stand on His promises. I'm going to stand in His presence. I'm going to stand in His promises. And the third thing is this: you're going to replace fear with trust. You're going to replace fear with trust. Look at Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Love this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Look at this next part. Do not depend on your own understanding. I think it should say that like 5 or 6 times. I know for me. Don't depend on your own understanding. Don't depend on your own understanding. Verse 6 says, "Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you the path to take." Look, fear grows when we trust ourselves. Peace grows when we start trusting God. Every fear is going to ask you, "Can God really handle this? Isn't that the way the enemy attacks?" Look at the first temptation on Eve. "God really say that? Can God really handle that?" We'll be tempted to give in to fear. Life gets overwhelming. The temptation to place fear over faith. When we place fear over faith, it ends up with us doing the wrong things, taking actions in our own hands. We forget the presence of God, we forget the promises of God, and we replace the trust with fear. Would you stand with me this morning? I think for a lot of people this morning, fear is knocking at the door. You walked in here today, you had a week, incredible week of overwhelming circumstances in your life, and fear is knocking at the door. The question is, who will answer it? Is Is fear going to answer the door, or is faith going to answer the door? You got a decision to make this morning. You're going to choose where you place your trust. Because I'm telling you, faith is not the absence of fear. It's a decision to trust God in the presence of fear. You're going to trust the presence of God. You're going to trust the promises of God. Because I know some of you, fear is knocking. Whatever situation seems overwhelming your life right now. Maybe it's a financial, maybe it's a relational situation. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a family. I don't know what it is, but fear is knocking at the door. And the temptation is to answer and say, okay, I'm scared. Because of that, we make the wrong choices. We take the quick fix. We take our solution. I get an ideal. It's never great, I tell you that. We can trust the Lord. This morning, I do believe some of you walked in with fear, overwhelming fear in your life. Trust Him this morning? Would you choose faith over fear? What I'm going to ask you this morning, if you're facing fear this morning, I'm going to open up these altars, let you come down, lay down fear, pick up faith. Say, Lord, I'm going to trust You. I don't see a way, but I know You do. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this, but I know You do. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You. Would you come this morning? Would you come? I want the prayer warriors to get ready to help us pray this morning. Would you close your eyes? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray this morning, if anyone is in an overwhelming situation,